National Weather Service meteorologist Brian McInerney says the snowstorms this year throughout most of the West are no comparison to last year's storms, which produced a 200% snowpack in the Wasatch.
We don't have any storms on the horizon for about 7 to 10 days, possibly 14 days, which brings us out to mid-January. We're about 62% snowpack on the ground. The farther south you go, it gets worse to the point where you reach central Utah, and then you see an absence of snow. The problem is this high pressure is not yielding to us at all.
February may offer a shift in weather patterns. Meteorologists are now comparing this year to the 1976-77 winter where no snow fell in northern Utah until February.
The discussion around the office is maybe when we get to February and we start seeing a little bit shift in the way the Earth's orientation to the sun goes, we might see a change. If you look back in 1976, which is kind of the year that we look at without snow, they had a banner February.
November had rain in northern Utah, even at the high elevations, and according to McInerney, it was the hottest November on record.
And it was raining in the middle of the night up to 9,000 feet, and we wasted all that good water. I mean, you know, it could be snow right now, but it's not. So it's a pretty bleak picture for the most part. And the problem is these high-pressure weather patterns, these stagnant weather patterns, are increasing, and they feel it's just due to a warming climate, and we're going to see more of this as the years commence.
Climate change research shows the winters will start later and end earlier, and Utah's mountains will have more rain events during the winter months. Storms are projected to be more intense, but then followed by long, persistent high pressures.
It's called a dipole pattern, where the western U.S. has a big high pressure, big giant high pressure, and the central and eastern part of the country is under a freezing low with all sorts of storminess and snow, and it's because of the jet stream is becoming more elongated, like a big, big sine wave. So think of the jet stream before. It used to have little wiggles. Each little wiggle would bring a storm maybe every 4 days. Now the pattern has set up where the big high is positioned over the west and the low is over the east. And then if you keep following that teleconnection out over the Pacific, there's an anomalously warm pool of water in the western Pacific that they think is causing this stagnant pattern. Unfortunately for us, we're not under the low, which is cold and stormy. We're under the high section of this, which is warm and dry.
Stanford University's Woods Institute for the Environment has published their research findings on the dipole weather pattern and what it means for the United States.
No, it doesn't bode well for the West at all. And dipole pattern weather patterns are increasing. They went back to 1980. And the trends are all increasing for this. So we can anticipate more of this in the future. Not only are we warmer, but this weather pattern has set up.
McInerney says we're in uncharted territory for how CO2 levels change weather patterns. He explains increasing CO2 in the Earth's atmosphere prevents heat from escaping at night and acts as a greenhouse gas.
It was 250. Now we're at 408 parts per million. And it's going up, and it's the most CO2 we've had in the atmosphere for roughly 800,000 years, and they really don't know. It could be beyond that, but these are with the ice cores as far back as they could go. So we're in uncharted territory as far as how we've changed the atmosphere. And it's, I think at the local levels, we're giving it a shot to try and bring this around. I think Park City's doing a really good job trying to get carbon neutral, but at the highest levels, we're really not getting any very far at all. And the problem is we have a tipping point. And if we hit that tipping point, then we have kind of a runaway climate change, and that's a pretty scary proposition. The whole world has to act in unison to kind of clean this up and figure this out. We have a limited time, though, before we can see some pretty bad effects from this. So we'll see how it goes.
The frequency of rainstorms during the winter will increase, and McInerney says the models show by 2035 the areas that are typically 100% snow-covered will be 50% or less.
And then as we progress to 2100, we're going to be a rain-driven hydrology during the winter months. Now, the question is, how do we get water supply? I think the last thing we'll be worried about at this point is why aren't we skiing powder? We're going to be trying to figure out how we get water, how we have our system right now that works wonderfully. It snows in the mountains. It melts when we need it. We catch it in reservoirs and we dole it out. What happens if it rains during the wintertime in these deluges with long periods of high pressure in between? And when you talk to the water districts, I don't know if anybody has a really good answer for this right now, where they're kind of scrambling Maybe build more reservoirs is one thing they talk about, but nobody really wants that. And then they store it underground. That might be an option. And the population is increasing all the time. So it's kind of a tough nut to figure out right now.
With the infrequent storms and warm conditions, the snowpack is very unstable. Avalanche danger is projected to remain high through at least the next few weeks. I'm Carolyn Murray, KPCW News.